Good morning and welcome to another day with the Word of God. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together. God, thank you for this time as we gather as one family and read your perfect word. I pray that you'd open our hearts and bless our families. May we be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. May we continue to learn more about you and from you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Today's scripture comes from Hosea chapter 9 and 10. I'm going to read from NIV version. Do not rejoice, Israel. Do not be jubilant like the other nations, for you have been unfaithful to your God. You love the wages of a prostitute at every threshing floor. Threshing floors and wine presses will not feed the people. The new wine will fail them. They will not remain in the Lord's hand. Ephraim will return to Egypt and eat unclean food in Assyria. They will not pour out wine offerings to the Lord, nor will their sacrifices please him. Such sacrifices will be to them like the bread of mourners. All who eat them will be unclean. This food will be for themselves. It will not come into the temple of the Lord. What will you do on the day of your appointed festivals, on the feast days of the Lord? Even if they escape from destruction, Egypt will gather them, and Memphis will bury them. Their treasures of silver will be taken over by briars, and thorns will overrun their tents. The days of punishment are coming. The days of reckoning are at hand. Let Israel know this, because your sins are so many and your hostility so great. The prophet is considered a fool, an inspired person, a maniac. The prophet, along with my God, is a watchman over Ephraim. Yes, snares await him on all his paths and hostility in the house of his God. They have sunk deep into corruption as in the days of Gibeah. God will remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. When I found Israel, it was like finding grapes in the desert. When I saw your ancestors, it was like seeing the early fruit of the fig tree. But when they came to Baal Peor, they consecrated themselves to that shameful idol and became as vile as the thing they loved. Ephraim's glory will fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, no conception. Even if they rear children, I'll bereave them of everyone. Woe to them when I turn away from them. I have seen Ephraim like Tyre, planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim will bring out their children to the slayer. Give them, Lord. What will you give them? Give them wombs that miscarry and breasts that are dry. Because of all their wickedness in Gilgal, I hated them there. Because of their sinful deeds, I will drive them out of my house. I will no longer love them. All their leaders are rebellious. Ephraim is blighted. Their root is withered. They yield no fruit, even if they bear children. I will slay their cherished offspring. My God will reject them because they have not obeyed them. They will be wanderers among the nations. Hosea chapter 10. Israel was a spreading vine. He brought forth fruit for himself as his fruit increased. He built more altars as his land prospered. He adorned his sacred stones. Their heart is deceitful, and now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will demolish their altars and destroy their sacred stones. Then they will say, "We have no king, because we did not revere the Lord." But even if we had a king, what could he do for us? They make many promises, take false oaths, and make agreements. Therefore, lawsuits spring up like poisonous weeds in a plowed field. The people who live in Samaria fear for the calf idol of Beth-Aven. Its people will mourn over it, and so will its idolatrous priests. Those who had rejoiced over its splendor, because it is taken from them into exile, it will be carried to Assyria as tribute. For the great king Ephraim will be disgraced. Israel will be ashamed of its foreign alliances. Samaria's king will be destroyed, swept away like a twig on the surface of the waters. The high places of wickedness will be destroyed. It is the sin of Israel. Thorns and thistles will grow up and cover their altars. Then they will say to the mountains, "Cover us," and to the hills, "Fall on us." Since the days of Gibeah you have sinned, Israel, and there you have remained. Will not war again overtake the evildoers of Gibeah? When I please, I will punish them. Nations will be gathered against them to put them in bonds for their double sin. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh, so I will put a yoke on her fair neck. I will drive Ephraim. Judah must plow, and Jacob must break up the ground. Sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. But you have planted wickedness, you have reaped evil, you have eaten the fruit of deception because you have depended on your own strength and on your many warriors. The roar of battle will rise again against your people, so that all your fortresses will be devastated. As Shalman devastated Beth Arbel on the day of battle, when mothers were dashed to the ground with their children, so will it happen to you, Bethel, because your wickedness is great. When that day dawns, the king of Israel will be completely destroyed. Amen. You know, not every chapter in the Bible, not every word that is spoken in the Bible is pleasing to hear or something that is encouraging to us, but it can be very challenging for us as we receive them as some kind of a reminder. So what is happening here? God, as you can see, is very, very unhappy with Israel, the northern kingdom. Why? Because God is telling them the corruption continues. The words of the prophets that I've given you, that is mentioned in chapter 9, they sound like fools, or you have received them as words of a fool. The ones who are wise are regarded as crazy people. What does that mean? In the kingdom of Israel, the word of God has fallen. The worship of God is no more. People worship idols over God. God mentioned this over and over and over again. And I mean, the whole book and the prophecy of Hosea is over northern kingdom's prostitution over the things of this world instead of being faithful to God. And God continues what? You have sinned because you have trusted in your own strength, in the number of your soldiers. And if you honestly think about all these accusations that God is throwing at Israel, these are the realities that we live in today. People don't consider the word of God to be good, let alone perfect. People receive the word of God. They don't receive the word of God to be life-giving. They consider it actually backward, antiquated, no longer necessary. They consider the word of God to be judgmental, narrow-minded. They receive the words of prophets. They receive the words of believers and pastors and missionaries and fellow Christians to be useless. And that is the same spiritual downfall that the northern kingdom Israel experienced before its ultimate fall. And what else happens here? The Lord says, trusting in your own strength and your own might, in your number of soldiers, people trust in themselves instead of the goodness of God. The culture continues to tell us to pursue self-glory, self-sufficiency. Everything must be done according to oneself. And when you know how to be self-sufficient and self-glorifying, that's how you know you're successful in the world. But that's not what the Bible says. That's what God reminds us. God reminds us that in order to be first, you should be last. In order to be great, be the servants of your neighbors. Yet the way the world operates is completely different from how God desires the world to be. And what God tells the Israelites in this passage is so condemning, so destructive, and so saddening that we feel like, God, are we walking in the same path? Are we on the same trajectory as the northern kingdom? But here's the thing. If you look at verse 12, sow righteousness for yourself, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is a time to seek the Lord. See, even when God is giving the message of punishment, he provides the way out. He wants his people back. He wants his people to repent and return to him instead of walking in the path of destruction. So this is my prayer. I always remind my students that repentance is a great thing. Repentance is not just this miserable, hair-pulling experience of feeling sorry for for sins and counting down every single sin we've committed. It's actually recommitting our lives back to God, saying, God, I messed up. God, I left the house. God, I went astray, but I'm coming home now. See, the purpose of repentance and the sowing of righteousness is all about returning to the Lord, restarting your relationship with God, regaining your intimacy with God. And my prayer is that we will continue to seek that. So, Youngnak family, as we read this rather challenging passage today, instead of leaving it off as, wow, these Israelites are messed up and I'm glad I'm not like them. Oh, these Israelites are so sinful. How could they do such a thing? Instead of taking a third-person approach, take a first-person approach. God, in what ways am I becoming like the Israelites? In what ways am I practicing what they practice? In what ways do I find myself in the path of destruction that you warned me not to go for? So my brothers and sisters, my prayer is that through this passage, through this message of God, we will find ourselves in the place of repentance, and through that, we will receive God's revival and forgiveness and the promise of joy and peace that only come from knowing Jesus Christ. So that's my blessing to you, and let's pray. Father, we see people, including all the people in the book of Genesis, Exodus, and so forth, all throughout Old Testament. We see their sins, and sometimes and many times we leave it off as, wow, these people are so messed up. But God, the reason why their narratives are included in the book of life is so that we will not repeat the same mistake, so that we will be able to find their flaws in our lives and come to you, Lord, in repentance. So I pray that you give us humility and awareness to do just that. So God, continue to bless our church family as we reflect on your word. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.